Hi, I'm Brian Kilmeade. You can hear me weekdays 9 a.m. till noon on Finger Lakes News Radio. FLX Morning continues now.
And welcome back to FLX Morning. It is 8:36. We're joined by our friends from Finger Lakes Health. Laura Turbide is here, and Laura's going to introduce us to our guest and topic for today. Laura, good morning. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoying the cooler.
Yeah, this autumn feel is a little nice, and the colors will start to change. So no complaints.
No, not
great time of year in the Finger Lakes, and you cannot beat where we live. I will just say that. So
yes, what we're talking about today, though, doesn't respect seasons. It has no regard for time of any kind. We're talking about basically educating people on dialysis.
We are. So kidney disease and dialysis. And I'm so, so pleased to have my knowledgeable guest here with me, Melissa Sanford, who's our manager of our dialysis center. And we have, as you can imagine, dialysis is really can be life-changing for people, both in the sense of life-saving, but also it is a change in people's routine. It is a true commitment of time that they make, a lifestyle commitment in terms of diet and so many other things. And it really is something that I think when you get that news that it's time, that your kidney function is impacted enough that you may need dialysis, it can be concerning. It can be scary for people. You may try to figure out, how do I get support? And so I'm really thrilled that Melissa is here to talk with us about something she and her team have put together that's a great way to, I think, provide support for people during these transitions, as well as we can talk about dialysis in general and what's involved. And lots of people, until I worked at a hospital, I didn't know, but we are seeing, as you can imagine, more and more people over time who were living longer. So obviously there's more people who may need dialysis. We're also seeing more things like diabetes, hypertension, all of the things that are kind of root cause of kidney disease, exacerbated partly because of life and how we eat and behaviors, as well as some other things. So we'll talk about just this critical service that I'm so proud that we offer right here. So that means we can live in the beautiful Finger Lakes and not have to move for these life-saving treatments. So Melissa will tell us a little more.
Hey, Melissa, good morning. How
good
are you
morning.
Today? I guess my first question is, people hear dialysis and that immediately conjures up dark images of, oh no, kind of thing. What exactly is it?
So there is, a lot of people that think very negative about it, but we've come a long way in healthcare. And dialysis, it is a hard treatment for patients. It requires a lot of time. It's at least 3 to 4 hours, 3 times a week. So that's, 12 hours at least. We even tell our patients it's kind of like a part-time job for them. So it's a lot. And there's different types of dialysis, and a lot of people don't know that. We have the dialysis that, we take care of everything. That's what we call hemo. And then we have dialysis that we provide through people's peritoneum, which is in their belly. It's kind of a home service that they would do every night, and then we would offer them support for that, obviously. But yeah, there's a lot involved, and it can be very scary for patients. So, when we talk with these patients at these dialysis education classes that we're starting to provide, these are patients that have been told, in a couple months, you're going to have a lot of lifestyle changes. You're going to have to go to this facility. You're going to have to do home therapy. So we're really going to be there to give them support. We have a dietitian, a social worker that's going to be in this class as well. So just providing that education and support, to help them manage what they want to do with their life, basically, since this has affected them.
Yeah, and it's important to note there that dialysis is not just the physical act of having the work done on your kidneys, the dialysis done, but as you so pointed out, it also has an effect on your diet, and it will have a tremendous effect on your lifestyle. Things will not be the same if you have to do either the home dialysis or you have to go into a facility. And as you say, yeah, it is like a part-time job because it's several hours a week of your day that's being tied up for this so you can stay alive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think people don't realize, obviously how far things have come. The fact that we now do have the ability to have the at-home peritoneal dialysis, the fact that in terms of sort of what is even happening. So in essence, you're artificially having some of your blood filtered out, and really those machines are taking the place of what your kidneys would have done for you, in addition to other things that I know it's more complicated clinically than how I'm describing it, but I'm trying to describe it in essence for a typical listener in terms of sort of what's happening with dialysis. So these pre-education classes, it's called pre-dialysis education classes, they're being held on the fourth Thursday monthly. We do require an RSVP, but it's a great opportunity for those patients who are being referred to say, look, we've been doing everything we can sort of medication management wise with your, and you may be hearing this from a primary care physician, or you may be hearing this from a nephrologist, but it's time to begin thinking about the sort of dialysis and giving you that additional, I guess I would say, clinical support to filter out those toxins and be able to make sure that you can have quality of life. And indeed, as we've talked about, your life is impacted. And some people, of course, it's not just the time they're sitting in the dialysis chair, but there's also transport time. So I know our team and our social worker works with people. A nutritionist works on diet. Our team works with people on everything from transport to sort of what happens. How do we get my set on a schedule? Because we have different scheduled times. So we run more than one shift, for example. So we try to get people set in a way that can best fit into their life so that it supports a quality of life versus detracts from it.
Absolutely.
And so we can explain, RCP, that may be a term that people aren't familiar with. RCP is required.
Oh, sorry, RSVP.
RSVP, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry, it sounded like RCP, and I was like, wait a minute.
What is
that? A physician referral?
Just we want to be able to know when someone's coming.
So. Right, absolutely. Okay, well, that's a little bit simpler then, so absolutely. Now, the next one of these, every fourth Thursday of the month, so we have one coming up not this Thursday, but the following Thursday then, right?
Actually, it is this Thursday.
Oh, it is this Thursday. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay. So fourth Thursday of the month.
And they're from 1 to 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And the phone number for dialysis set is 787-4580. You can find this information on our website. But if you have questions, and again, this is the kind of thing that you're probably already talking with your physician about. I'm probably, you know, it's something you're going to wake up in the morning and be like, hey, I think next Thursday I might hit this up. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're going to be working with your physician and talking it through. But it's certainly, I think, a wonderful addition that our team is putting into place to really support people. And I guess I would say in kind of, we talk about healthcare here every couple of weeks, mm-hmm. but healthcare often has these moments of transition, right? And, you know, when you've gotten a diagnosis, when you're sorting that through, when you're trying to figure out what's best for you, and this is really a perfect way.
And I'm sure, Melissa, that there are some people that aren't even aware of the improved technology that you could actually do dialysis at home. It's not for everybody, but it is an option.
It is. And not a lot of people, you know, since they're scared, we give them that support to let them know that they can be empowered to do that treatment at home. Because a lot of people just are like, oh, you're going to leave me at home and I'm going to be to my own will. But no, we're there supporting. We we have a lot of training that's involved. We never let patients go without them feeling comfortable. We also let them know that they can bring a support person also to help them, which is also helpful because taking in all that information at once can be very scary.
And that support person may even be the person that's providing the transportation, because some people may have difficulty being able to get to a facility to actually get that dialysis done, and they need someone to help them in that commitment.
Absolutely.
And a support person can come to the pre-dialysis education classes, as well as if you're doing that peritoneal dialysis. And I remember when I learned about that, it was the kind of thing that for some people that may just be better for them, because they can do it overnight. They can be just sort of, you know, I actually know someone who was sort of working full time in a very intense, labor intense job as a contractor while they were going through dialysis. And I remember thinking it was just in a very, a big commitment time wise, and they found a way to manage it. So you'd be surprised at how many people you might not realize might be going through dialysis treatment and also continuing to work full time, continuing to sort of, and that's the goal of our team, is to sort of help people keep the rest of their life as, living the way they'd like to.
Right. It's almost like, okay, you're headed into a pretty dark tunnel here, but there is a light at the end of it, and you will get to it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we're talking with the folks from Finger Lakes Health here. We have Melissa here, who is part of the dialysis program. Laura is here with us as well. Matter of fact, Melissa is the program director, and we're talking about the pre-dialysis education classes. The next one is coming up in just a couple of days on the 22nd from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. There is an RSVP required. We'll give you the telephone number and the information for that here again at the end of the interview if you're just joining us here this morning. And we mentioned some of the root causes that might cause people to be on dialysis, diabetes being one of the big ones. What are some of the other issues that can wind up putting a person into a position where either that home or in-house visit at the facility is required?
Hypertension can be one. People that have had really long-standing kidney stones and urinary tract infections, they're kind of minute, but the big ones are really diabetes and hypertension, which is a big problem, you know, in general in healthcare.
And I'm glad you mentioned kidney stones, because that was one of the first things that popped into my head. Okay, is there a correlation between having kidney stones and kidney damage that would require dialysis?
Well, obviously, anytime you have anything happen to your system, that's going to have causes. But usually, if you have a few kidney stones, that's not going to be the problem. These are people that have long-standing issues with them that are chronically breaking down some of the small structures of your kidneys. But for the most part, kidney stones aren't really the root cause.
Right. And when we talk about dialysis, whether it's the facility visit or the home visit, what exactly does dialysis do? Is this basically replicating and assisting the function of the kidneys to flush out toxins, things of that nature?
So the dialysis machine has a very special membrane called a dialyzer, and it has thousands of little tiny straws in it that helps with the diffusion of the bad particles in your body, and then it replaces and cleans the blood. So anything excess in your body like that, the waste products that you're not getting rid of, the extra fluid because you're not peeing because your kidneys aren't working, that's the stuff that the dialyzer filters through and then returns a clean blood to your body.
Right. And generally, once you go on dialysis, is there any going back?
Sometimes some people are on the cusp, and I have seen some people recover function, but usually they don't, because it's just a cause of the whole thing. So,
right. Yeah.
But there is hope. I mean, there is a lot of, you know, different options for patients, you know, with the home therapies and everything, mm-hmm. but transplant is the big one, and we do guide and help all of our patients get on the transplant list and go through that process.
And we recently had been talking about, you probably know even the numbers of how many of our patients have actually had transplants. We can talk about that a little bit.
So I'm very happy to say that we had 4 successful transplants this year, which is major for our unit. The majority of them have been through upstate, but it's just fabulous to be able to report that to not only our staff to give them encouragement, but also to give the other patients encouragement. You know, hey, so-and-so got a kidney transplant. It's not so bad.
Yeah, and it's the number 4 doesn't sound like a lot, but for this area, I mean, that kind of gives you an idea of just how prevalent these types of kidney issues are. And to have that success rate, to have that many people be able to get transplants, that's phenomenal.
And for something where there is sort of a chronic progressive disease that then does have options, you know, obviously critical options mm-hmm. for us. And again, I think also a reminder for all of us, this is also why organ donation is so important. Mm-hmm. It would be a really remiss of us to not make a plug to the fact that from livers to kidneys to all kind of eyes to all of the things, if you're at that driver's license getting registered, or if you're thinking about it, or if you're making decisions about your healthcare proxy or your healthcare wishes, these are the kinds of things that it's the time to think about it is when you're healthy and not when your family's in crisis. And as a health system, we obviously encourage families to think, and individuals to think very, very much about how out of sometimes tragedy can come these incredible gifts for others. So I would encourage you, and I think when we talk about dialysis, it's important to talk about the fact that all of us have the potential at some point in our lives of helping make an impact.
Absolutely. Now, again, if you're just coming in on the conversation, the pre-dialysis education classes are happening the 4th Thursday of the month. That means the next one is coming up in just a couple of days. Now, if you want to RSVP, which you need to do to be able to attend. You can leave your name, number, and how many guests will be attending at this number, 315-787-4580. That's 315-787-4580. Melissa, keep up the good work, as we say, and congratulations on holding the position that you hold. I know that's a very important one that has a lot of bells and whistles to it. And Laura, thank you for being here as always. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.